DW.
Cranes, rotohammers, and bulldozers everywhere. Buildings go up at record pace at the Cape of Good Hope. Luxury mansions, extravagant residences, and impressive business towers are being erected across Cape Town faster than ever before. The South African city, with a population of nearly 4 million, has expanded rapidly over the past few years. But there is a dark side to this building boom. Contractors buy land in many locations at the cost of evicting less affluent tenants to build lavish high-rises for the elites.
When I see bulldozers, it reminds me of one thing. People that has to move out and the houses being thrown down.
64-year-old Delia Phillies, known as Oma Delia or Granny Delia, is facing eviction. Again. For 3 decades, the petite old lady has been living in an apartment in a small brick house on Albert Road in the bustling neighborhood of Woodstock. Once considered unsafe, her neighborhood of Woodstock has evolved into a vibey hub for artists and alternative lifestyles, with hipster coffee shops going up at every street corner. Now Oma Delia's landlord wants to have her house torn down to replace it with a modern apartment block. Oma Delia is having flashbacks.
It reminds me of District 6 where I was born. So every time I see a bulldozer, it's as if history is repeating itself.
During the 1960s, Oma Delia was one of 60,000 inhabitants who were forcibly removed from the inner city precinct of District 6. This part of the city used to be a thriving, multiracial and multi-religious neighborhood. But most buildings there were bulldozed under the Group Areas Act of the apartheid regime. That law enforced the separation of racial groups in urban areas and led to the eviction of hundreds of thousands in cities across the country, leaving scars that still haven't healed. Bonita Bennett runs the District 6 Museum, which is trying to preserve the heritage of the former neighborhood and supports efforts of people to move back and revive its old spirit. She and her family were also evicted from District 6 when she was in her teens.
It was a very cohesive community in all its diversity. It was able to demonstrate how life could work across whatever, whether there were racial, language, ethnic divides. It was a community that knew how to make community. And so I think that added to the sadness of the destruction.
People of color such as Bonita Bennett or Oma Delia were forced to leave when District 6 was bulldozed. While Oma Delia found a new home only a few kilometers away in Woodstock, many others, including Bonita Bennett, ended up in the dusty, remote Cape Flats, more than 20 kilometers away. There, people were forced to live in shacks in townships without proper sanitation and had to commute long distances to their jobs in the city center, relying on costly and unsafe minibus taxis. The forced removals thus changed the face of the city for good, reserving central areas of town for white people and their residences, largely to this day. The townships were each assigned to different ethnic groups among people of color, and it was forbidden for the races to mix. Under apartheid, different groups of people were intended to undergo a separate development along racial lines. The darker the skin color, the more marginalized people were. The apartheid system ended in 1994. But its legacy lives on as South Africa's cities remain deeply segregated. And Oma Delia is worried that she will be uprooted again, with poor and vulnerable people like her being marginalized into camps on the fringes of society once more. Instead of living in a brick-and-mortar house, she will be forced to share a makeshift shack with the rest of her family in a desolate place called Wolverivier, 30 kilometers north of the city, with the only public facility nearby being South Africa's only nuclear power station. The city of Cape Town has already moved 450 households with several thousand people in total from inner city districts to this resettlement camp and plans to expand the relocation camp to 10 times that size. Oma Delia is notably upset.
The city has to be ashamed of themselves wanting to put us in the middle of nowhere. There's no hospitals, no shops, no schools, no churches, no police station, no recreational facilities for the children. And if you walk into one of these houses here, there's no privacy, which means I'll have to wash me in front of my grandsons. There's no privacy here. Oh, I can cry. No, no, I refuse to come here.
Omar Delia looks exhausted from a lifetime of adversity, but this time she won't move without a fight. She has sued her landlord with support from the Reclaim the City movement. The campaign helps those who are facing eviction and tries to undo the forced removals of the apartheid days. Since 2016, the group has organized regular protests and raised awareness for the need to redress spatial inequalities left behind from the apartheid era. Jared Rousseau is one of the organization's co-directors.
It is true that our city remains possibly one of the most segregated in the world. Just like during apartheid, mostly black and colored people are being forced out of the city, if not through apartheid laws, today through economic forces. And at the same time, our governments at all three levels, the city, the local province, and the national government, has absolutely failed to build any new affordable housing in the inner city, despite the fact that there is public land available. We are, in the end, building a city that sprawls more and more and becomes more and more segregated. And the apartheid, the spatial apartheid that defines our inequality, becomes replicated.
The Reclaim the City campaign also encourages people who were evicted under apartheid to reclaim their land. In the case of publicly owned land, they've had mixed success over the years. However, the activists also believe in expropriating private land, a highly controversial issue in the new South Africa. It's not just activists who want to make Cape Town more inclusive. Walter Fiu is the director of Making of Cities, a local construction consultancy with a social conscience. With an academic background in urban planning, Fiu advises companies on how to implement best practices when it comes to creating spaces for all strata of society.
More than 1,000 laws were promulgated to enforce a state of apartheid or separate development. And when those laws were repealed, people thought apartheid was finished, but it's not.
Fiu says that existing townships should be upgraded to bring better services to disadvantaged people. However, he believes that erecting shopping malls throughout the Cape Flats is not enough to make the notoriously criminal townships safer. He rather wants local economies in the townships, which usually are highly informal, to get support from the business sector so people there can lift themselves out of poverty. Fiu believes that such a market-driven approach will help redress the injustices of the past without having to expropriate private owners.
We have to undo these barriers, and the way that we will undo it is by infilling certain pockets of land with good quality housing. And what we have to do at the moment is really to start identifying big parcels of public-owned land and release that for social and infill housing. And that will spur on other neighbourhoods to also have some diverse commercial opportunities and things like that.
But activist Jared Rousseau thinks that encouraging commercial contractors to start building with a social conscience while also pushing local economies will not change the cityscape effectively enough. He believes that activists need to push the national and city government to undo injustices.
The only way to really disrupt that inequality is to bring poor and working class people back into the city. If you're made homeless during an eviction, there is no solution for you in Cape Town. The city's solution here in 2018 is to put evictees on a truck and take them to a relocation camp 30 kilometers away in the middle of nowhere. So we take people that are vulnerable, that need the support of the state, and we make them essentially, we throw them into poverty. And these relocation camps are basically state-built shacks in the middle of nowhere, with no access to public transport.
But redressing the past is more complicated than simply attempting to undo the mistakes of the apartheid era. Catherine Christie is an architect who thinks that moving people back into town and drawing up more diverse communities there doesn't necessarily create greater overall equality. Having studied city planning at great depth, Christie believes there are other solutions.
I think where we fall down sometimes is where we believe that architecture can solve social issues. I don't believe that. I think to solve social inequalities and to look at this huge disparity between people that have money and people that don't, there's a lot more that has to happen than just a building, for example.
Christy believes that the factor lacking in most equations trying to redress the past is simply the time that it takes to heal, as well as the resolve to push for change from the top.
Apartheid planning was a very specific tool that was instituted to separate. So to try and break that down is a huge challenge. I think it's something that I'm not sure we'll ever recover from. Having said that, I suppose it's also part of our history, and it's something that needs to be embraced on a level. It's something that we can't get rid of. Not that we need to embrace the values of it, but that we need to embrace the fact that this happened as part of our history.
That's no consolation, however, for Oma Delia. She sees no future for herself at the relocation camp.
You can die here. They forget about you. Because if you get sick and you phone the ambulance, they take up to 5 hours or 10 hours to get here. By that time, the people is dead. If I die here, where are they going to bury me in the bush?
But despite all the unsolved challenges that Cape Town inherited from its apartheid-era planning, Bonita Bennett from the District 6 Museum remains optimistic that things are improving.
Transformation is a journey, it's not an event, it takes a long time. It also needs much more consciousness, because a lot of people are quite happy with the way it is, because it's comfortable.
Walter Fiu also sees positive change when he looks at improvements, like better bus connections for people in remote areas of Cape Town. He highlights that some notoriously dangerous areas in the Cape Flats, like Guguletu and Khayelitsha, now even have hip districts with bars and restaurants. While many challenges remain, Fiu says that the country has already achieved a lot since the end of apartheid.
We've come a very long way, and I think there's a lot to be very hopeful and optimistic about in the future.
For Oma Delia, however, those dynamics are likely to mean that she's going to have to face another eviction. Her chances of winning in court are slim. Things may have changed, but only for some.
DW.